everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, we set a couple of records. We tied one, then we broke a record for the warmest day since records have been keeping, they've been keeping records since like the 1890s here in Tucson. We hit 86, so going to cool down a little bit, but we still need rain desperately.
When was the last time we had any significant rain? Was it last September?
I don't remember. We had measurable rain just last week.
Yeah, but I'm talking
good significant rain. And that rain last week was the first time in 90 days that we'd had any measurable rain. But you're saying when did we have like... Going back to like the monsoon, if you're talking about a good rain, it's been a long time.
Well, I'm thinking that, yeah, that September is when the last time I can remember.
Yep.
Well, anyhow.
Anyway, we're off and running on the Buckmaster Show. It's the midweek edition. It's Wednesday, February 5th, 2025. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio at the Bustos Media Center in Tucson. We've got five radio stations under one roof. Very proud of all five. They're doing very well. This one's 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. We're trusted news and talk. Last month, we began year 15 for the radio program and my 37th year here in the Tucson radio and TV scene. We have worldwide live listening, all of our podcasts at buckmastershow.com, Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Thanks, Sean and the team over there for sponsoring our Buckmaster Show live line, which is 790-2040. And anytime during the hour, people are more than, I hope they call in. If you've got a question or comment, like to hear from you. Once a month, usually, depending on kind of how the console schedule goes, but the first Wednesday of the month, we bring in Tucson City Council Ward 3 member Kevin Dahl. Kevin is a, well, he's got a great career in environmentalism. He worked to protect the Grand Canyon and some of our national parks here in Arizona when he was representative for the National Conservation Association. Before that, he was executive director of Native Seed Search, which works, it's a great organization. By the way, Kevin, great to see you.
Likewise.
You can jump in here as I talk a little bit about looking at your new revised bio on your website. But it is a great organization. It looks at preserving the genetic diversity of southwestern Native American plants. It's been successful, hasn't it?
They've saved some amazingly important varieties of corn, squash, beans, and other things that were grown for millennia by people who crops that are adapted to the arid conditions, which, as you could suspect, mm-hmm. it's been more and more important, mm-hmm. and to the alkaline soils and the weather conditions, the varied weather conditions we have in the Southwest.
And then Kevin is a birder. He was the executive director for the Tucson Audubon Society, previously known as the Tucson Audubon Society, which is now called the
Tucson Birding Alliance.
Tucson Birding Alliance, okay. And you also have published a couple of books. And are they still available?
They are still available. The publishers are nonprofits. The Arizona Sonoran Desert Museum published a small book on wild foods of the Sonoran Desert. And Western National Parks Association published a book on Native American gardening.
Is that the one, Native Harvest?
Yes.
Authentic Southwestern Gardening. And I forgot to mention this when Tom and I were talking about the weather, but today marks one of the coldest days ever in Tucson. And speaking of cactus, this wiped out really like some Peruvian cereus in our backyard and a lot of others. We hit 18 degrees on this date, Kevin, in 2011, as you might recall. And this is the day that it barely got above freezing in Tucson. I think the high that day is one of the lowest highs ever recorded. I think we broke like 30, got to 34 or something, but it was incredibly cold. And this was a day that a lot of cactus were wiped out, because cactus can normally handle the 20s, but you get below that, it's bad.
Yes, and this is a more evidence of climate change or climate disruption. It's not just the warming planet means there's more energy, but it means that our highs are higher and our lows are lower, and mm-hmm. sometimes we get rain, and sometimes we get rain that are huge storms that blow over trees. Very concerning to me.
Well, one other thing that I know is concerning to you, people like you who have really dedicated your whole life to your working life, but even as a kid, you were kind of an environmentalist, I guess, but you are an environmentalist.
I am,
and
yeah.
people like you are persona non grata among some who are now running the United States.
Most of us are watching what's happening in the White House and the administration with a lot of horror. It seems like the Republican administration thinks that we can make information disappear and then we no longer can talk about climate change. The edicts to staff that have been working on this, the threats to funding, the federal government funds a lot of important things in health, in environment, so many in foreign aid, and this disruption is very, very horrific.
Well, federal money... there's been a pause in federal money, I believe, to projects around the United States and maybe around the world. Projects like something we talked about, Kevin Dahl, just last month with you. The federal government had approved a pilot program that would take recycled water and clean it up and eventually make it tap water. So that program may be in jeopardy, and a lot of other so-called green programs in the city of Tucson may be in jeopardy.
Yeah, the federal funding that we deserve, because it was a federal problem that polluted our aquifers with these forever chemicals, PFAS, is in jeopardy, and we won't be able to build or get reimbursed for the water treatment that's going in now to protect our aquifer. The reclaimed water advance... purification. It was an interesting package that not only helped Tucson, but helped people in Marana, helped the Bureau of Reclamation and some tribal water rights. It was a very interesting project, piloting a technology that we may need in the future. Mm-hmm. The disruption, I understand a new administration, maybe a different political philosophy, wants to change things, but a good administration does it with surgical precision. It doesn't throw atom bombs at important agencies that are helping people every day. And it doesn't throw atom bombs at the staff people, the dedicated people working in the Forest Service, the Park Service, Environmental Protection Agency.
National Weather Service, Mr. Musk and the team paid a visit to the NOAA that does our weather.
That's really frightening, because we remember in the last administration with a magic marker, the president thought that he could change the course of a hurricane that was going across Florida. The lack of respect for science and tradition and helping people, I don't know how it's going to be an interesting 4 years, and I use the word interesting advisedly.
Let's go to the live line. Kevin, slip your headset on here so you'll be able to hear the caller. Matt is with us on the live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Matt, you're with Councilman Kevin Dahl.
Yes. Thank you, Kevin, for being on the show.
I can barely hear.
Yeah, Kevin, can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Thanks.
There you go.
Okay. Thank you for being on the show. I'm sure you've seen the signs popping up against 414, some of it from the chamber. But we're also seeing a litany of strange bedfellows in Tucson crying for the council to heed their calls. Liberals know that apparently, 414 is a regressive tax, and that's an obvious economic reality. And business simply knows it will cause them to either move, fire employees, and or just shut down. So my question is, why not now, given what you refer to as the current national chaos, why not just suspend 414 from the ballot, and we can take this up a year or two from now? Thank you. Bye.
Hey, Matt, that's an interesting idea. I don't think we have the ability to suspend an election once it's been called. I don't know that there's any provisions in the state law that covers elections to do that. I wouldn't support that either. I think the voters have received information. The
ballots will be going out a week from today.
Yes, and In yesterday's mail, I got the packet of information with arguments for and against and an explanation. I strongly support this. I wouldn't have done the balance of how we fund things exactly the same way. But what I'm remembering is we can't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. This does so much good. A large part of our community has realized that our public safety, fire, police, the 911 system, is underfunded. And we receive so much lobbying for a better police force, something that's best practices. We're underfunded in Tucson, and I monitor the police force, and while there are anti-police sentiments, our police force is very progressive and has done the work to prevent the sort of surveillance and impact of people that has happened elsewhere. This will continue programs that we piloted using federal money. The federal money is going away. Great programs will suffer or disappear if we're not able to fund it. It is regressive. There's no doubt about that. The reason we have to do it is because this is the one way that we can generate a goodly amount of money for our general fund. Our general fund is $750 million a year, though our total budget is $2 billion because we have big components like the water department that's run on fees and environmental services, again, that's run on fees, and that money can't be moved around. And in fact, within the general budget, there's not a lot of leeway to move things around. So this is the one way that we can continue these programs and build into the future, despite worsening funding from the very regressive state income tax. Our shared revenues are projected to be way down. And whatever we might experience in the next couple of years with the reduction of federal funding.
And you're speaking out of you're speaking as a citizen, not as a councilman when it comes to the proposition.
Thank you for pointing that out.
Yes.
I'm allowed to advocate for it when I'm not using city resources and
right.
I'm not at my city desk
no.
or using any resource.
All right. Some of the knocks on 401 I want to bring up with Kevin Dahl, and I will bring them up. But right now, let's take our first break of the show, the midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show on 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. And we are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio, and we will be right back after we hear from our great sponsors who make what we do possible. Please support these people. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Travel is in my DNA. When I'm ready to start another adventure, my trip begins and ends at our local airport, Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. TUS, where it's made easy to fly. Start planning now for your next air adventure by visiting flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority invests over $100 million annually in transportation improvements in the greater Tucson region based on public input. The RTA and its regional partners deliver roadway, transit, safety, pedestrian, bicycle, environmental, and other needed improvements to meet the demands of transportation network users over a 20-year period. Learn more about the economic and quality of life benefits of the RTA's 2006 voter-approved plan and flexible funding at rtamobility.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. It's our midweek edition in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios. Kevin Dahl is with us, Tucson City Councilman. Kevin, let's talk a little bit more about Proposition 414, the ballots for city voters. They will not be going to a traditional polling station. This is all handled by mail. It probably will be a very low turnout. Traditionally, these things, they are. We'll see about that. But let me go over a couple of the major knocks on this. And this has been articulated on this program by Michael Guyman, who heads up the Metro Chamber. He's the president and CEO. Michael was on last week. I think it was last Tuesday. But generally, the other opposition agrees with this. Kathleen Wynne, who does a radio show here on 1030, and who's the current head of the Republican GOP in Pima County. Here's the knock. If this is so necessary, more police and housing issues, if this is all so important, why in the heck didn't you and your colleagues just write all this stuff into the budget?
Well, the budget is not an ever-expanding pool of money. The budget is going to programs that are happening. And so what would you rob? Would you want less fire protection to have more police? Do you want to have an antiquated 311 emergency center so that we could have another ladder truck? A good portion of this is supporting public safety, and we've heard the outcry for public safety from many Republicans. Mr. Guyman represents the business community, but there are businesses that are very supportive of this because they want better response rates from police, among other things. But this is not just public safety. Living in a vibrant, resilient city means that we need to have ways to build the workforce, and this has funding for that. We have to lift up people who are in a situation where preschool is important to them. We're allocating $1 million a year to a program I've seen in action and is exemplary. Violence is a concern, and this will set up an Office of Violence Intervention so that we can focus resources on preventing the gun violence and other forms of violence in our community. There's so much good stuff in this. Housing. People tell me that, the free market will take care of affordable housing. It never has, and it never will. All of our affordable housing programs in Tucson have been done by government or through tax incentives. And this will provide some of the gap funding that will leverage even more affordable housing in Tucson. We're answering the questions that people have asked us. And we have a good track record in when we ask for more sales tax or when we ask for bonds, we deliver. And this will be delivered.
Well, there are oversight committees when there's three that have passed, right? Parks,
public safety, and streets.
Streets. The city manager then appoints a committee to oversight, and one of the knocks on this would be that these would be people that would be appointed who are big supporters of whatever this.
Knowing the city manager, that's not a real possibility. And if it is, it will come to light, and my colleagues and the mayor will make changes to that. In the past, we've had very robust oversight committees, and we need those. there's five buckets of money, and once this is voted in, the money has to stay in those buckets. But there might be something in the buckets that we've lined out that will change. So, for instance, maybe we get a big grant for the police protection equipment that we're going to use. We don't want to buy more than we need, so we can put that into a vehicle upkeep or vehicle replacement in that bucket. So that's a very important job for Oversight Committee, and they've done it really well. The most recent sales tax has been for the streets, and it was reported this week in City Council meeting that we are meeting our deadlines, that we're 2.5 years into a 10-year program, and we're 25% complete.
With every street getting attention,
neighborhood street is going to get the best treatment that it needs. Some need to be just redone. Some just need another fog coat. And it's a very sophisticated way of the city's using a process where every street has been analyzed for its state. But then there's an overlay of, our utility's going to tear it up next year. Sometimes we can group projects with one contractor, and that's more efficient. And we also have an oversight committee that the plan is run through so that individual citizens can make their case that my neighborhood's more important, and some adjustments can be made.
Now, I hate to put you on the spot like this because we had...
You love it.
Michael... Listener Michael sent me an email just a few moments ago, and he's taking issue about the city parks bond, which was passed by voters, I believe, in 2018.
Yeah.
Michael says there was supposed to be money to provide much needed, in his words, irrigation improvements in the Randolph Golf Complex. And he alleges the council is using those funds to build a path right through the middle of the course. Do you have any?
It's outside of my ward, but I have been briefed on that, and I'm following it because it's a big controversy. A long-term bond, we may not get exactly everything that we've, and that's why there's an oversight committee. Since COVID, we've seen... huge increases in construction costs, material costs, delay in getting materials. And so all those things are run through a public process. It's not the council doing it. There is a public process. The council probably does have the final say on these things, but the public can be involved in those decision making. And the pathway through the golf course is on the books. It may or may not happen. The first phase of it were much needed improvement to the path in the southeast corner of the park, trying to get much of the pathway away from the street, which will have some minor changes in that the southern nine holes. Looks like a pretty good project to me. Again, it's not my ward, and I'm not interacting with very much with the residents. But yeah,
do you know anything about these irrigation improvements that were part of the deal?
I don't know whether they've gone away, okay, or whether they've been delayed or what.
Mm-hmm. So it seems like this is about trust, isn't it? Whether or not a voter, when they go to mark yay or nay, feel like, can we trust the city to keep its word, basically, on these projects?
I have to think about that because I think in general there's not a lot of trust in government. So that means there's going to be a 5% yes vote. So I think we've made a strong case that these are continuations of projects, police, fire, that we like and enjoy. We want them to be better. We want our police to have the best protective equipment and the most up-to-date vehicles. We don't want when they're working on street racing, we want them to be able to track down those people who are disturbing our sleep and arrest them. So maybe it's some form of trust. I certainly trust that this is probably going to pass.
All right. I've got in my usual stack of stuff for you. We didn't really put a dent in it, but everybody wants to talk about 414 now.
So I'm glad we did.
But I do have about a minute to address this. Natalie Robbins, who is the daughter of my old colleague, Ted Robbins. Ted and I worked together over at Arizona Illustrated back in the day when We had quite the team doing our nightly show. Anyway, Natalie works at the Tucson Sentinel with Dylan and the team, and she writes that you guys at the console are going to be tweaking the zoning code to make it less car-centric, which means taking a hard look at all the unused parking spots in town.
By the way, Ted and I are still Facebook friends.
Oh, great. Yeah, he's a friend of mine as well. I hope he's doing well.
Several of us are interested in resolving the problem that Tucson is overparked. There's big parking lots that aren't being used. So that's part of it. But we're also doing this corridor development tool, which is even more current.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. See if we can work Scott in. I don't want to leave him hanging there. Scott, I'm within 1 minute of closing out here. Give me your question.
I just had a quick question. Is this a special election for the city sales tax?
Yes.
Great.
How much does it cost in the city?
What was that?
For the election?
How much does it cost in the city to run the special election in March?
I don't know for a fact. My feeling is that it's every election costs about $1 million.
Okay, Scott, thanks for your question.
Why would you do it then? Why would you do it in November with the other election?
I don't know.
Yeah, the simple answer is we want it to pass, and it's more likely to pass in March than in November. In November, it will be at the bottom of the ballot. It'll be the last thing people think about.
All right, Kevin, out of time. Covered a lot of ground. Thank you very much. Hope you have a great afternoon.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, take a break right here, midway edition of the Buckmaster Show.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rieto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, rocking and rolling as usual during the midday hour, always covering a lot of content. that we put in 1 hour Monday through Friday here on KVOI, Green Things and Zocalo Village. Zocalo Village has all that wonderful imported pottery. They've got beautiful dining room sets, handcrafted out of mesquite wood and some other really exotic woods. Here's the good news. If you haven't heard, I guess it's not so great news for Green Things, but they're going to have to tear down five buildings that house all of the Zocalo Village stuff because the buildings were in a floodplain. But here's the good news for the consumer. Rather than move all the stuff over to the new building at 3384 East River Road, why not just drastically discount it? Sounds like a plan. Up to 50% off. So that's going on right now over at Green Things and Zocalo Village, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. When we do our telephone interviews, the live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Our contributor on health, one of two dozen regular contributors to our program, is Dr. Victoria Mazes, the founding executive director of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona, where she is a professor of medicine and public health. She's also internationally recognized as a leader in integrative medicine. Dr. Mazes is committed to helping individuals lead healthier lives and in pioneering change efforts that solve the American healthcare system challenges. Together with her team at the center, she has created and implemented educational programs that have trained thousands of physicians, nurses, and other health professionals and impacted the care of millions of people. She's highly sought after as a speaker. She's editor of the Oxford University textbook Integrative Women's Health and author of Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. She co-hosts a very popular podcast with Dr. Andrew Weil. The podcast is titled Body of Wonder. Dr. Mazes was named one of the world's 25 intelligent optimists by Ode Magazine. You can follow her on X at Dr. Mazes, and you can find her at integrativemedicine.arizona, integrativemedicine@arizona.edu. Dr. Mazes, how are you?
I am doing well. How are you, Bill?
I'm doing well, rocking and rolling. A lot of covering a lot of material today. I want to begin with journaling, and that's something that when Ann died, and I've been very public about the whole grieving process. By the way, and the anniversary of Ann's death—hard to believe. Dr. Mazes coming up on February 17th. But one of the things I was told that might be helpful in my grief journey was journaling, and tried a little bit of it, and I'm still doing some, not regularly, but it did help at one point. But journaling is interesting, isn't it? That it has all sorts of benefits.
It does have many different benefits, and thank you for speaking a little bit to your experience, because I think for lots of people, they dip into it and then they kind of dip out of it.
Yeah.
I may be the exception. You know, I started journaling when I was 16 years old.
Oh,
and
my
I've been keeping a journal ever since. But I don't do it every day by any means. You know, there are times when I'm more active, especially if there's something that's troubling me. Sometimes when there's something really wonderful happening.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are times when maybe months go by where I don't journal. But it's quite interesting to have that kind of written reflections since I was 16.
Well, 16, you were talking about the first boy that kissed me or something.
Yeah. I mean,
all right, you know, who knows?
Well, or like, what am I going to do with my life, right?
Yes.
Which I think is something people journal about, like what's most important to you, what's most meaningful. But you were saying there's all sorts of benefits, and actually journaling has been extensively studied and been shown to have both physical health and mental health benefits.
Why don't we talk a little bit about the mental health benefits? One obvious thing would be anxiety, right?
Yeah. So sometimes, for example, it's hard for people to sleep. And I know we're going to talk a little bit about insomnia on this episode as well. But sometimes we can't go to sleep because there's just something weighing on our mind. Sometimes we can't go to sleep because there's something we don't want to forget. Like, I want to make sure I do this first thing in the morning. And, you know, in both those cases, writing it down. If there's something that's really on your mind and troubling, and maybe you've been able to push it out of your consciousness all day because you're busy at work, you're busy with your kids, you know, maybe you're doing, you know, watching a television program, whatever it is, and then you lie down to sleep and it just floods your mind. And mm-hmm. so writing it down in a journal is one way of getting it out, you know, of expressing it, of getting it a little bit off your mind, off your heart, onto the page. And sometimes what's found is that in the act of writing, we get a different sense of it. So, for example, as we begin to write the story or the, you know, the things that are troubling us, we organize them. And sometimes we gain new insights. And so we kind of move on a little from the initial upset feeling.
We've talked a lot about gratitude over the years with you, Dr. Mazes. And this journaling would be a good place to write down some of those things we're very filled with gratitude for.
Absolutely. So that is another area where journaling has been shown to improve our mental health. And with gratitude journaling, there's different ways to do it. But for example, one way to do it would be every day, write down three things that you feel grateful for. They do not have to be enormous things. You know, they don't have to be, I got a promotion at work, or, you know, I won the lottery. No, mm-hmm. they could be little things. You know, my garden is starting to bloom as spring comes, you know, into effect. Or today I saw a hawk fly by, or, you know, whatever it might be that gives you a sense of wonder or awe or gratitude. I had a lovely phone call with a friend. You know, I received a gift. I mean, whatever it might be that you have a sense of gratitude for. And what it's been shown is this very simple practice, three things daily for 3 weeks, increases our happiness and our life satisfaction. That's pretty darn good.
Yeah, it could be anything, like a friend may send a picture of some flowers or a mm-hmm. bouquet of flowers, or just looking at the morning sunrise. There's mm-hmm. all sorts of things that often we take so much for granted in this life, and we don't, you know, stop to think about, this is really a special day in my life. I'm alive.
Yeah. And so with the journaling, we're dwelling in it a bit longer. You know, we're not having this fleeting noticing, for example, the sunrise, but rather we're then spending a little time appreciating by putting it on the page or by speaking it to somebody else. So I agree, you know, spending a little bit more time focused on the positives that we all have in our lives is a healthy practice.
Well, and of course, there are benefits for cutting down feeling kind of blue or depressed as well.
Yes. So actually, there is some evidence as well that as we write, we can reduce our sense of sad mood, depressed mood, people with PTSD have been studied using journaling as a tool to improve mental health. And so it not only can make your mood better, also it helps you sometimes think about coping mechanisms.
And there's
what are some ways?
Mm-hmm. I was going to say the physical benefits as well. I bet it helps mm-hmm. lower the blood pressure.
Yes. You're absolutely right. There's some evidence about lowered blood pressure. You know, one of the earliest studies, which I just think is so fascinating, is there was a study in which people who had either asthma or rheumatoid arthritis were asked to journal. Now, you wouldn't really think about asthma and rheumatoid arthritis as conditions that would get better with journaling. And yet, the people who were asked to follow these practices had significant improvements in their physical health from journaling. So not only can it help with mental health, as we've just been talking about, but it looks like it can improve our immune function, it can lower our blood pressure, and it can alleviate some of the things that can be more chronic, like asthma or rheumatoid arthritis.
One thing I did journal at the turn of the new year I put down 5 goals. So I guess journaling could be a good place to follow up on what I wrote down.
Absolutely. And, you know, in some ways that, you know, keeps us on task. I know, you know, one of the things I do at work is I have a document and I list all the things I'm supposed to get done this month. And as the month is nearing its end, hopefully most of them are done, but some of them carry on to the next month. And so that as well is certainly a form of more goal-oriented journaling, but can be very effective.
Probably helps work on the memory as well and, know, kind of retaining, learning and retention.
Yes. And I think, you know, sometimes people have a little bit of a reluctance, you know, I'm going to write it down, someone's going to read it. Nobody has to read it. In fact, in some of the studies, none of the researchers ever read what's been written down, and yet they see profound changes. Sometimes people will journal and then they'll burn it because, you know, they just don't want anyone to read it. That is all fine. But if you can write freely, you know, without this sense of, you know, censorship, that someone else is kind of looking over your shoulder or is going to judge you. So even if you say to yourself, I'm going to write down this thing that is so upsetting to me and then I'm going to burn it, it gives you the freedom. You don't have to worry about, is it well written? You know, you're not entering a writing competition. You're really just writing to get out the feelings.
I've got to get back to the journal. Maybe I'll do that after the show today. But, you know, it really, bottom line here, Dr. Mays, is it's certainly a low cost. There's some really neat, by the way, journals. If you're looking to, like, buy one, you can find them online and some really nice looking and easy to work with journals. But it's a low cost way to really... self-care, I think, is the category.
100%.
Yeah.
It is self-care, and it's in some ways even like being your own therapist.
Yeah.
And it is, as you said, you know, it's, I mean, I would even put in the category called free.
Yeah.
Because most of us have a pen and paper at home. And so this is really a wonderful thing that you have this, what we call mind-body tool that costs nothing, that doesn't take a lot of time, and that has been shown to be quite effective. So I do highly recommend it.
All right, Dr. Mays, stay with us. Sleep problems for veterans can be a huge problem. We'll talk a little bit about that with Dr. Victoria Mazes. Take a break right here. It's the Buckmaster Show Midweek Edition. Be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax through June 2026. The funding has led to a $1.6 billion investment in regional transportation improvements over the past 2 decades to improve your quality of life. The RTA is working on a final draft of a new regional transportation plan for future voter consideration. The $2.46 billion draft plan includes roadway, transit, safety, bicycle, pedestrian, environmental, and other needed improvements. Learn more at rtanext.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover 2 of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, covering your hometown.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We're having such beautiful spring weather. Same is going on over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Start your land of enchantment dream right now. And it is it's a lovely place, and it's only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson over to Silver City. The outdoor activities really shine. The Gila National Wilderness is there. Cliff Dwellings National Monument, great place to get out and do a little hiking. It's a lot of fun going on, outdoor activities and some great eating in New Mexico. Is it the green chili or the red chili? You make the decision. And some kind of old-time eateries that have been around forever in historic Silver City. I think you'll have a great weekend or midweek getaway by taking the approximately three-hour trip east of Tucson to Silver City. Their website is southwestnewmexico.org. We continue now our conversation with Dr. Victoria Mazes, the founding executive director of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona. Dr. Mazes, sleep is a huge problem for a lot of people, especially for our veterans who are struggling with post-traumatic stress disorder.
Very true. And there are many, many things that can help people get a better night's sleep. So I want to say that, they range from cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia, and the VA has a free app that anyone, not just veterans, can access and use if they're struggling with insomnia. There are supplements that can be used. There's stress management, there's acupuncture. Exercise can help people sleep better. Many, many, many different things. But the thing we're going to talk about today is a new study that was done looking at a electrical stimulator, a vagus nerve, which is a cranial nerve that runs through your brain, down kind of behind your ear, all the way down into your abdomen and pelvis.
Really?
So, vagus is Latin for wandering, and it's called that because it wanders such a long distance.
Wow.
From the brain all the way down into the pelvis. And it actually is connected to all our major organs, and it's responsible for what we call the parasympathetic nervous system, which is the quieting side of our nervous system. So we all know how to get stressed. Somehow none of us have any trouble with that. And, you know, we get activated, our heart rate goes up, you know, our heart beats harder, it beats faster. We get ready to either fight or flee. In both cases, we need more blood flow to our brain, to our heart. And we do that very, very easily. Well, the opposite side, the calming side, is induced by this vagus nerve. And so in this study, they used a little device on the earlobe that stimulated the vagus nerve right there. And what they found is that the people who got true vagus nerve stimulation, as opposed to sham, in the sham, they gave this teeny tiny little electrical, barely feel it, but people still had a sense that something was happening. And they found that it very significantly improved insomnia after 8 weeks of treatment. And actually the treatment effect was still present 12 weeks later as they followed people up.
Mm. So this vagus nerve is really critical in our body, isn't it?
It is. And again, I think many people haven't necessarily heard much about it,
right,
learned much about it. So there's a lot of things we can do. For example, when we hum, we stimulate the vagus nerve. So if you're anxious, you know, say you're, that's exactly right. So you could hum and you could do that. Singing can sometimes activate. Now, this is less pleasant, but putting your face in a bowl of ice cold water activates the vagus nerve. Yes, indeed it does. There's meditation, yoga. There are many ways to activate the vagus nerve. But sometimes when we're feeling really stressed, it's a little bit easier to kind of clip a little device on your earlobe than it is to meditate.
Yes. So these,
and you can always hum. I think people can always hum. So yeah. I do want people to remember that that can work.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit more about the device you would put then on the earlobe.
Well, I don't know. I was trying to figure out from the original article, which was published in JAMA, the Journal of the American Medical Association. But this study was actually carried out with a device from China, and I couldn't figure out exactly which device. So I'm going to tell your listeners, not the one that was used in this study, mm-hmm, but the ones that are widely available in the United States.
Okay.
So, for example, there is a device that's called Truvaga, T-R-U-V-A-G-A. And this is a device that stimulates the vagus nerve as it runs down your neck. And so in this case, you sort of feel the pulse, which is the carotid artery, the pulse in your neck, the strong pulse. And then you put this little device over right near there until you feel your lip twitching a little, and then you know you're in the right place. And that's available over the counter, and it's actually been studied. The prescription form of it, which is called GammaCore, has been studied for migraine headaches. So that's one. Another one is called Apollo Neuro, two words, Apollo like the space shuttle and Neuro like neurology. And this is a tool that vibrates, and you wear it on your ankle or your wrist. Usually people wear it on their ankle, and it vibrates, and it has that effect. Another one is called Sensate, S-E-N-S-A-T-E. And that, it looks almost like a flattened egg, and you put it over your chest, and it pairs with music, and it vibrates over your chest.
Huh.
There's another one called AlphaStim. Now, AlphaStim is available at the VA to veterans. So if you're a veteran listening and you want to, you know, experiment and see if this helps your sleep, you could go and ask for the AlphaStim device, and that's something that's carried at the VA for veterans. So these are a wide variety. There are yet more that you can access and use and see whether it will help. And the truth is, it shouldn't just help your sleep. It may also help your mood, your anxiety. As I said, it's been studied for migraine headaches and shown to be effective. So it really may be helpful in a lot of places. It's currently being studied for rheumatoid arthritis. So a wide range of both like the journaling, both physical and mental health issues.
All right, Dr. Mays is going to have to wrap it up, but I assume that you would just use these devices before you go to sleep. Is that it or what?
Well, that's how they did it for the device that was studied. It was done for a half hour on the earlobe before sleep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Victoria Mays, is always a pleasure. Thank you. We'll look forward to your next visit with us next month. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, Dr. Victoria Mazes. You can find her, follow her at on X at Dr. Mazes, and of course through the Integrative Medicine website at the University of Arizona. All right, on behalf of Dr. Mazes and Tom on the other side of the glass, Bill Buckmaster saying, hope everybody has a great afternoon.